I talked to you in terms of the scripture about the Holy Spirit. And I had a couple responses from people, and one person said to me, Pastor, you made the comment that there's nothing that we can do in our relationship with God. And I said, what I really said was there's nothing that we can do to awaken ourselves to God. Jesus said you must be born again. And what he's saying is you must become awakened to God in your spirit. And the Bible says very clearly, Jesus says, flesh in John chapter 3, flesh gives birth to flesh. But he says, but spirit gives birth to spirit. So we cannot awaken ourselves to God. God must awaken us. And when there are moments that we are having an especially hard time spiritually, what we will oftentimes do are things that might renew our body, but not our soul. I know people who become very spiritually low, and they go on vacation, and they expect that vacation time to renew their spirit. And I say, well, it certainly is helpful to have a break away from all the pressures of life, but it's the Holy Spirit that has to renew your spirit when your spirits are low. Getting away physically from anywhere is not in and of itself going to refresh your spirit. David, after a particularly hard moment in life, prayed this, create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And there is that sense in which that is part of the role of God. Now, once you are awakened, once the Holy Spirit, and we're asked to invite the Holy Spirit, just as we're asked to invite Christ into our lives, the Bible says that, and we looked at this last week, Luke says that will not God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, or ask to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives? Once we do that and we are awakened in God, then there are certainly things that we can do in terms of our relationship with God. And this morning I want to talk about one of them and about how that impacts us in our lives. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture here in Matthew chapter 6 that in which Jesus talks about some very basic things that I think we sometimes miss in life. And so in Matthew chapter 6, if you... Media shout's not working? Ah, thank you. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. This is a very familiar passage for many of you. And this is what he says. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Now, in Jesus' day, the word hypocrite, and I've taught you this before, some of you may actually remember what I taught you about this, the word hypocrite was not the same vision of hypocrite that we have. A hypocrite was actually a profession. A hypocrite was an actor. It was an actor. And so a hypocrite was a person who put on a mask and played a role for a play. And the idea was, the way that Jesus uses it here, is that you are one person, but you put on a mask and play another. And we should probably let that just settle in for a minute, shouldn't we? Because we're in a society and a culture of image management, which is completely against what the Spirit of God is about. But anyway, it says, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Now, let me just pause for a second and tell you, I don't see this as a huge temptation today. I don't see people who are like, man, I can't wait to get down the street corner and pray in front of everybody. This is not an issue for people today. But what is an issue for people today is this. I hear this all the time. I don't like to pray out loud in front of other people because, and they never really finish it, but you and I know what the end of that statement is, don't we? Because I feel uncomfortable letting other people hear how I pray. Now, on the one hand, Jesus is speaking to the fact that this person wants to look better than they are, and so they stand up on the street corner and let everybody know how good they are. The other side of that is us being unwilling to share at all who we are because we're afraid that if we pray, people might actually see who we are. We're afraid that they'll judge us by our words, by what we say, by the content of our prayers. And there's a sense in which we kind of, in that same way, put on a mask and say, I'm just not going to let you see. I'm not going to let you in. And that's another different kind of thing that we have to deal with, is being unwilling to let other people see who we really are and who we really are before God. He says, I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full, but when you pray, go into the closet, into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's in the unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in the secret will reward you. And then he goes on to talk about another group of people that don't get prayer quite right either. And he says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. He says, there's a group of people who think that there's kind of a formula to prayer, and they're looking for just the right words. Whether it be a lot of words, or the specifically right kind of words, or how it's worded, they think that there's a formula to that, and if you get the formula right, then it motivates God. I see this happening too. And God really kind of, Jesus pushes back on this and says, this is not how it works. I see people who tell me all the time that they're not sure how to pray. They're not sure what words to use when they pray. And I say, you know, let me give you some simple ones. Help. That's a good prayer. Just help. Have you ever done that? Help. Usually it's in a higher pitch. You know, that's a great prayer. Forgive me is a great prayer. Watch over me. Have mercy. It's not about getting just the right words before God. And please, let me just share this with you. I grew up on the King James. 90% of the scripture I've memorized is King James. So I understand that. But we don't have to pray in the King James either. I mean, prayer. And this is where Jesus is getting at. It's so basic, but we miss it. Prayer is about talking to God. Patty, would you do me a favor? Would you come up here for a minute? I want to pretend for just a minute that Patty's God. I know, isn't it? Would y'all buy into that for just a minute? Just a minute, okay? Now, let's just imagine. Now, and I want you to imagine that I'm me, but I'm not the pastor. I'm not the preacher. This is Andrew. Let's strip off all the images, okay? This is just Andrew. And I come before God, and this, just look at this picture. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Have you ever prayed that prayer that way? Now, does it sound like Andrew is actually talking to God? Does it sound like Andrew's talking to Patty? I wouldn't talk to Patty that way. I want you to think with me for just a moment about what Jesus is telling us in this prayer and what it means for us in our spirituality. Listen to this for just a second. He says, when you pray, say this, Our Father. Now, in another place in the New Testament, Jesus addresses God as Abba, which means daddy or papa. It's what the word that a four-year-old might use for their father. So he opens the prayer by saying, Dad lives in heaven. Amazing, awesome, wonderful, powerful is your name. When I think of you and all that you are, when I think of who you are and what you've done, I'm amazed. There are times when I look out at the stars and I think about the psalmist who said that you created the sun, the moon, and the stars. How amazing you must be. I look around me at creation. I think about the splendor of fall. And I look at the mountains as I drive home, God. And I think about the trees. They could have all been one color. But you are so creative. You're so imaginative that when I drive home in October, I'm just overwhelmed by the beauty. And so I just need to tell you, here's what happens to me. In the course of my day, I get caught up in me. I get caught up in my stuff and who I am. And so when we take a moment to talk, I need to be reminded that your kingdom should come first. That your will and the way that you would do things and the way that you run your kingdom in heaven would be the same here. I need to be reminded that the stuff that blew up in my day is probably not the most important stuff in the world. I need to be reminded that my life is bigger than me. I need to be reminded that if your kingdom's going to come, that means that when I'm stuck in traffic, I need to be more patient. And I need you to remind me of that. Because I get lost in it. Almost every day I get lost in it. Even though I know I cannot bring it to the forefront of my heart. So I'm inviting you. You are awesome. And you live in heaven. And I'm inviting you to come. And I'm inviting you to invade my life and our world. And the things, the way you would want heaven, the way you have heaven run. May that happen here, and may it start with me. And I'm not sure what that looks like, but I would love for you to tell me. I would love to be part of that conversation, and I would love to watch that happen. Now, can you imagine Patty and I having a conversation like that? Just talking? This Jesus is inviting us. He's showing us some of the things that we're to talk about. But he's inviting us into that conversation. And he's telling us sometimes subtly about ourselves. That sometimes when we rush to prayer, it is all about us. And he invites us to bring everything. Everything. There's not a thing. He says, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. When Jesus teaches this prayer, though, he's telling us, be cautious because you will get wrapped up in you. And the world and my kingdom is bigger than just you. And what you're dealing with. And you need to be reminded of that. So I'm inviting you to pray that very prayer. That your kingdom would come and that your will would be done. Your will, which means not necessarily my will. Here on earth. In the same way that your will is done in heaven. And then he moves on to a very practical part of life. Now again, many of you have probably prayed this prayer. And I want you to listen to the interaction of this prayer. Again, God's just being quiet for this moment. But God could actually say something about this. And I want you to think about this as if it were a conversation. It's lunchtime. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we all are blessed. Give us, Lord, our daily rest. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with that prayer, but it seems to me that there's a lot missing from that prayer. It doesn't even sound like I'm talking to God when I say God is great, God is good. There is no address to God. It's like, God, I want to tell you, you're great. It's just, God is great, God is good. Like I could be talking to any of you about God. Let us thank him for our food. Well, do it. If you're going to say let us thank him, let's actually thank him for our food, right? And yet, you and I have taught generations of kids, have taught them to pray just like this. We say things like, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Now, y'all know the uncool version of this. That's what we were taught, right? We don't teach the old version anymore. If I die before I wake, bless the Lord my soul to take. It isn't about the words themselves. It's not that a rhyming prayer is bad. It's this. It doesn't engage my spirit in having a conversation with the living God. I'm saying words. And that's it. And what Jesus was telling us was, when you pray, I want you to actually engage God in conversation. That means I want you to talk, and it means I want you to listen. Because you see, if you saw Patty and I together, just as friends, and we are friends, outside of on stage and in this setting, we would be like chatting. We like go at it. We step all over each other's words and laugh a lot and all that kind of stuff. And that's part of our interaction with each other. And there is this sense in this in which God calls our prayer life to have a deeper reality to it. And for you and I, to say, give me God my daily bread in the Lord's Prayer. How many of you today already have enough bread, food to eat for the next month? Come on, raise your hand. You got a freezer and you got enough food to eat for the next month. Yeah. Most of us. Most of us have at least enough for this week. You might have to go shopping. When we say, give us, Lord, our daily bread, God has already answered that prayer. He's already answered it. And when we pray, most of the time, we say stuff like, bless this food, O Lord, and us to thy service. Now, again, the reason why people used to pray that prayer was because the food used to kill them. Right? Not because of the cooking, but because the food itself was not in good condition. So you drink food or water, and you would literally be praying, God, I hope this doesn't kill me. You know? Instead, maybe our lunchtime prayer should sound like this. God, first of all, I want to tell you, what a blessing it is to have like six different things that I could have for lunch because of the refrigerator. And that it took me like 5 minutes to put together. There are people around the world who will work their whole day just to get one meal. And so you have already blessed me in amazing ways. I pray for those who are just trying to get one meal today. And I pray that you would give me the strength to use the energy I have and the extra time that you've given me for your glory today, that I would not just spend it on myself. And thank you for what a huge blessing it is. And help me not to get an attitude over stupid stuff like I got to eat leftovers or there's no ham in the refrigerator when there's so much need in the world. Amen. Give us, God, our daily bread. I mean, God has met so many of our needs. And then he gets really personal. And he says, and forgive you, God, you forgive us our sins, our debts, our trespasses, mostly ones that we've committed against others. And that's another whole deal. We got to go to them and talk about it. But when we've sinned against other people, we need to go to God. And here's what he says. Forgive them with the same measure that I've forgiven the people that have hurt me. So when my cup of mercy is big, I'm asking that your cup of mercy toward me is big. When my cup of mercy toward others is small, I'm asking that your cup of mercy toward me is small. When my cup of mercy is slow to forgive others, I'm asking that your cup of mercy is slow toward me to forgive others. When my cup of mercy is forgiveness but not forgetting, I'm asking that your cup of mercy is forgiveness but not forgetting. And we didn't make up this prayer. This is what Jesus told us to pray. To forgive us our debts in the same way that we forgive our debtors. The measure that we use, we're asking God to use on us. And every time that we pray that prayer, God is saying to us again and again and again, how well are you forgiving? How well are you forgiving? How often are you forgiving? Because every time I forgive you, I want to remind you of how much mercy you need. And I want you to be merciful to others. Man, we forget that. And then this last part. And he says this. He says, and lead us not into temptation. Now, the Greek word here can mean two different things. And man, this goes all over the page. And for our prayer that we pray all the time, I'm not sure that we think about this very much. The Greek word can either mean temptation or testing. To some people, it doesn't matter. I think it matters a lot. Because the Bible says that God himself doesn't tempt us. James says that. But it does say that he tests us. In Genesis chapter 22, can you put up that scripture for us? In Genesis 22, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there. And you know the rest of that story. He tested Abraham's faith. It says further on in the Bible, in Luke chapter 8, in the story of the seeds and the sower, it says, those on the rocks are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe it for a while, but in a time of testing, when life becomes hard, they fall away. Man, I see that a lot. I see that a lot where life gets hard and people fall away from God. And in James chapter 1, James says this, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And yet, as we talk to God, the admonition, the thing that the command that Jesus asks us to do, he tells us that we are to pray and lead us not into testing or to temptation. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it's not up there, but I'll just tell you, the scripture says, and the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And you know, I don't think that we think about this very much in terms of our daily lives. We don't think much about the fact that behind the scenes, behind our backs where we can't see it, there is a spiritual thing going on in which God is involved. And Jesus says very clearly there are forces of evil involved. As a matter of fact, the next line of the Lord's Prayer is that we are not only to lead us into temptation, but also to deliver us from what? And the NIV says the evil one. And there is all kinds of stuff going on behind our backs that we don't even think about. That we are wrapped up in. That tests our faith. Hard stuff. And I'm, in just a second, I'll ask you to sit down. I'm asking you to think about the fact that there really is a God on the other side that you're praying to. On the other side of your prayers. And to think about how you actually interact with that God. Is the question in your mind, it's bedtime, so it's time to pray, therefore I'm just going to say some words. Or is it God's Spirit is alive within me and I want to interact with my God and talk as though God were alive and real within me. And that's what Jesus is challenging us to in the Lord's Prayer. And he's shaping that for us in terms of what that should look like and how that should be. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, friend. I find in my home, we have kind of a ritual. I put my girls to bed mostly because the boy demands that his mother's there. So there's one more parent left and two other kids, so I'm in the girls' room for the most part, which is just fine with me. I love being there with them. And so I read to them generally in the evenings, and then I pray with them. And I confess to you, humbly, that there are nights where my prayers in my girls' room are just horrible. I'm tired, and I want them to be asleep like 10 minutes ago. And my prayers in moments like that are like, God, help us all to rest well tonight and help us to love you. Amen. Not exactly a model prayer. And then there are moments where I'm earnestly praying, and I'm praying for things that I've prayed for in the past, and I'm kind of walking through a list in my mind because I know that I want these things to happen, so I pray for them. And so I'll pray like that they would, I pray that God would reveal to them that all little boys are evil and to stay away from them. No, I'm just kidding. I don't pray that. I pray that God, I've thought about it though. I pray that God would help them to pick great friends. I pray that God would help them to be great women of God. I pray that God would help them to fall in love with His Word. I pray that He would pick their spouses for them one day. It was a great conversation when they asked me one day what spouses were. And they're like, "You're praying for our husbands?" They're like, "We're six." I'm like, "I know. I'm already behind." I pray for these things. And yet, there are moments where it is kind of just prayer time at night. And the other day, we were driving down the road, and my daughter caught me praying. I didn't even realize I was praying out loud. I just said, I was driving them to school, and I just said, "Lord, thank you for another day. I'm so grateful for all the blessings of this day." And my daughter said, What did you just say?" And I said, "I was just thanking God for the day." And she said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, I'm grateful for you guys. I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful for the way in which God's at work. I'm grateful that I've been blessed with so much." And I said, "I think it's important that we tell God when we're grateful. A grateful heart's a big deal to God." So she caught me praying. And I realized in that moment, she was seeing something that she wasn't seeing me do at night. I was just unguarded, out there before God, sharing what was in my heart. That was an important moment for me. Because even though I was praying good things, I still kind of had my daddy guard on in front of my kids. How I pray in front of them largely shapes how they're going to learn to pray and who they are before God and how their spirit interacts with God. My last thought for you this morning is this, and I think this is really important. Our prayer needs to have faith behind it. I have another confession for you. I don't know how many other pastors find this, but I find that I'm asked to pray all the time in all different occasions in public. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in a meeting and a person said, "Pastor, would you open us up with prayer?" And when that happens, I put on my hypocrite pastor's hat, and I pray a very similar prayer to what I pray every time. "God, we thank you for those that are gathered here together tonight. We pray that you would guide us with wisdom as we address the business that's in front of us, and help us to make wise decisions and to follow you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen." And I just want to confess before you, I say that, and then I think to myself, now let's get about the business in front of us. As though what I said and asking God to be a part of everything we just did, it was just a ritual. It was just a ritual. It was like saying, "God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food." And it meant very little to me. And God has just like pierced me about that and said, "Look, when you talk to me, you've got to believe that I'm hearing and that I'm going to respond. It matters what you say to me, Andrew." Now, in many other places of my prayer life, I already exercise that. I just find that God, from time to time, shows me another place where I haven't gotten it. This past week, I had to drop off Sienna first, and then Abby. And my sweet Abby, she, all last year, she had an older sister walk her to her class. Sienna literally took her hand and walked her down the hallway to her class every day that she was in school. Now, Sienna was sick a little bit. Every day last year in school. And this year, Sienna's not even in the school. So the first day of school was a very big deal for Abby. And I walked her in, and we got to the desk, and she fell apart. I don't know where to go. I don't know. She just sobbed. Fortunately, her kindergarten teacher was there and took her by the hand and calmed her down and helped her and took her wherever she needed to be. I don't know. She disappeared. So, look, when you're a parent in the school, you're only allowed to go so far. You know, they got signs that say, sorry, no more. Now, okay, let me just deal with that. I went back an hour later and went to the school secretary and said, how's Abby doing? I mean, I checked in on her. I texted her mother to tell her that Abby was fine. So I did all that stuff. On Tuesday, we went in, and I said to Abby, do you want me to still walk you in? She said, yes. I said, okay. Now, on the first day of school, there's a girl in her class who walked up to her and invited her to be her friend because her older brother told her to do it. That's another whole God story, which was so cool. So we get to the door of the elementary school, and who should be right at the door at the very same time as we walk up but this little girl? So I'm like, my daughter's got a death hold on my hand. I'm like, why don't you just let go and walk in with her? So they're holding hands, and they're walking into school, which is just like so sweet, right? And she gets past it. I just say, have a good day, Abby, and she just keeps on walking. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus, for just providing that friend right there that day. And in that instant, now y'all know how your mornings go, right? I mean, they can be 5 minutes one way, 5 minutes another, right? In that instant, someone that I knew walked across my path, and I could tell the moment I saw him something was wrong. The moment. I said, how are you doing? They said, not good. And they just started crying. And I said, they just kind of walked away. So I followed them. There's a little room there. And I went inside the room and we closed the doors. And I said, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. What's wrong? So they kind of just spilled their heart. Now I got my 4-year-old on my arm. They're just spilling their guts out, right? So I stopped and I put my hand on this person and I prayed. I prayed that God would give them a sense of peace. I prayed that God would walk into the middle of that conflict that they were in. I prayed that God would work out all the details. I prayed that God would support them, that he would give them courage and help and strength. And I walked away from that and I said to God, thank you. What did it take for God to get that person to walk across the tiles of that school right at that moment as I was walking in, and my daughter didn't need my attention at that moment? What did it take for God to orchestrate that? I mean, it was as though heaven said, here it is. All you need to do is step up and help. Now, that person Facebooked me later on, and here's what they said. They said, just 5 minutes before you walked in, I was literally on the floor of the bathroom on my hands and knees in the school praying that God would help me, that he would send somebody to help me. And that person said, thank you that you showed up. And I wrote back and I said, you're welcome, but let's get something straight. God orchestrated everything that happened that day. And he gets all the glory for it. Now, we live in a world where God is constantly at work trying to do these kinds of things. Constantly. And he wants us to be aware of him, of others, and to be available. And part of what he's telling us is, stop trying to imagine some kind of formula that will fix stuff. If you are open and awake and available, I will put the right people in the right place for things to happen. And when I ask you to step into a room and lay hands on somebody and just say a word of prayer saying, help, you can do that. And I will respond. And I thought to myself, man, at the end of that day, my wife said to me, how did your day go? And you know, there was all kinds of other stuff that happened that day. And some of it was a mess. And I said, let me just tell you what God did this morning. Because when your morning starts that way, when you start that way and you're just like, how did you work that out, God? I mean, I could have walked faster, slower. Breakfast could have lasted longer. Somebody could have a catastrophe and couldn't find a shoe that morning. And you're there 5 minutes late. And God worked that out perfectly. And I stand in awe of that God. In awe of His grace and His love and His mercy. And today, I want to invite you to bring yourself, not who you think God wants you to be, not the good little girl or good little boy, not to say what you think God wants you to say. I want to invite you to come before God this week, each day, and to honestly have conversations, plural, with God about your day. I want you to invite Him to overcome the inertia that pulls us into thinking that everything revolves around our lives and what's happening in us. I want you to invite God to come and to invite God to allow you to be a part of His kingdom coming on this earth. Whether it be praying for somebody or helping somebody or whatever it is. I want you to earnestly tell God, you know, I am so frustrated right now that I'm stuck at the lighted sheets and I got stuff to do, God. And you know what, God, I'm getting bent out of shape and I shouldn't be. And I'm grumpy and I shouldn't be, but I am. So there. Can we work it through? Can we do something about this? Because this attitude is like shotgun blasts at people around me. It's going to get ugly. And tell Him. It's not like He doesn't know anyway. And something happens in your relationship with God when you do that. Man, there's a great story, and I don't have time to get to it because I'm already over time, but there's a great story. You know, somebody has to remind me every once in a while, I don't get paid for how long I preach, I just have to preach. Preacher, you don't have to go on that long. Anyway, there's a great story in the scripture about two people who came to the temple. And one was a Pharisee who stood up real close and said, I thank you, God, that I'm not like all the bad people in the world. That's quite a prayer, isn't it? And then there was another person who stood at a distance and said, God, I think I'm one of the bad people in the world. I need help. And Jesus said, who do you think walked away better off? And our tendency is to believe that if we come before God and say, look, I got myself cleaned up, I got myself fixed up, God's going to be like, yay! He knows better. He's looking for us to come and say, oh, I made another mess. Oh, I can't believe you're going to be patient with this. But here's where I am, God. And I don't even understand how you can love me and have such mercy on me in the midst of this, but if you could see it in your heart to forgive me, I don't want to do this. I want to be close to you. I want to be different. Could you help me through this, God? I feel so broken. Man, what a prayer. What a prayer. Would you pray with me now? God, I feel like you've invited us to one of the most incredible things that could possibly happen. If a famous person walked in this room, we might get excited about talking to them. We might jostle to get an autograph, and yet you have offered to be available to us whenever we come. And there's something about us as humans that we want you to believe the best in us. We don't like looking bad. We hate being a failure. we're embarrassed that we don't have it all together, especially at this age. Seems like, you know, once you get through your teens and 20s, you should be more together, God. And we find moments in life, sometimes many of them, that we're just not. We don't understand a lot of the spiritual stuff that happens around us. What we know is that you are alive and at work, and you've invited us to be a part of that. Give us an opportunity, and we invite you today to knock on the door of our hearts and remind us that we need to learn to have open and honest conversations with you. Times where we can tell you that we're angry, we're upset. Times when our spirits can soar and we can tell you how excited we are just to see the leaves on the way home as we drive home. Those moments of gratitude where we think about our family and all that they are, and those moments of frustration when we think about our family and all that they are. You've asked us to hold together these two ideas which seem so hard for us, that you are a holy, awesome, powerful God before whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess, and that you are our dad that we can tell anything to and you'll still love us. And a lot of times we find that that doesn't compute. So give us the courage to pull back the curtain a little on our hearts and to tell you what you already know. To invite you in. To speak kind words. To speak words of correction. To speak words of assurance. And to listen when we're ranting about ourselves and our problems that compared to the rest of the world are so much smaller, and yet you still care about them. Help bring things into perspective as we talk to you this week, and remind us to take time, not just at lunch when we're saying a prayer of our food, or at bedtime when we're getting ready to close down for the night, but all day long, to find little moments to just have short conversations with you and find ourselves hearing you at the same time. Thank you for being our persistently loving dad who is so overly fond of us as your children. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.